I appreciate the opportunity of being with you this evening. Appreciate your invitation and chance to think with you for a little while about spiritual things, to consider some things from the Word of God. It's always an honor to me and a privilege to have opportunity to talk to people about spiritual things and to study what our responsibility to God is. I want this evening to talk to those who are young and to talk to those who are old and those in between who can't make up their minds perhaps which group they belong with. Some are in that no man's land and they're not sure whether they're young or old, but there's a message from God for all of us. I'd like to begin with Hebrews, the first chapter, verses 1 through 4. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Passage tells us that God has spoken to mankind, that God spoke to the fathers through the prophets, that He has spoken to us in these last days by His Son. And that message is a message that is to all of humanity. God's instruction is directed sometimes to the whole of the human race. Mark 16, verse 15, the instruction of the Great Commission is, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's comprehensive. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." That's comprehensive. Teach everybody. Preach the Word of God to everybody. Sometimes God's instruction is directed to the church, those who have been saved. Instruction given particularly for the edifying of the body, as pointed out in Ephesians 4, verse 12. So there's instruction that appertains particularly to the church of the Lord. Sometimes the instruction is directed to local churches in particular. For example, the letters to the Corinthians were to the church at Corinth. The letter to the Ephesians was to the church at Ephesus. The letter to the Philippians was to the church at Philippi, and so on. And instruction was given to those who were involved in that particular relationship that Christians are involved in the local church. For example, in Acts the 20th chapter, verse 28, the instruction was given to the elders of the church at Ephesus to take heed unto themselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit had made them overseers, to feed the church of the Lord which He had purchased with His own blood. So their responsibility was an important one, a significant one. Sometimes God's instruction is directed to the saints, to Christians, for their individual duty. Instruction that's given of a personal duty kind of thing. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The instruction given to Christians not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly. The instruction given to Christians to look not every man on his own things, but every man also to the things of others. And that's not being a busybody, but being concerned about the welfare of each other. Brethren, if any among you err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he who converts a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. And so there is that kind of instruction that's given to each of us as children of God. Sometimes the instruction of God is directed to women and to men. And a distinction is made on the basis of the roles of those who are men and the roles who are women. 1 Corinthians 11, for example, with respect to the submission of the woman. 1 Corinthians 14, with respect to that submission, the headship of the man. 1 Corinthians 11, 1 Timothy 2, instruction given to men particularly, and then to women as well. And so there are responsibilities that are set forth for each. Sometimes it involves the husband-wife relationship, and God has given instruction to wives and to husbands, as in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Wives, be in submission to your own husbands, and husbands, love your wives, and so on. So that kind of instruction is given. Sometimes the instruction is to parents and to children. And such instruction as in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, for example. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That kind of instruction. And sometimes instruction is given to the young, and sometimes instruction is given to those who are older. And that particularly is what I want us to think about in the remaining time of our study. And the importance of our having a proper attitude between the young and the old, so that we can have a proper relationship between the young and the old. It's an important thing. We keep hearing people talk about a disconnect, a generation gap, that there is a great gulf, so to speak, that separates the young and the old, and they don't understand each other, and that sort of thinking. But for those who are people of God, that ought not to be. There is no reason for it to be. If we listen to what God has said to us, both to the young and to the old, then that kind of thing won't exist. And churches of the Lord won't be torn apart by a conflict between the young and the old, if we listen to God and follow His instruction. And so let's begin this part of our study with some thoughts concerning the instruction of God to the young. This begins, of course, at home. And the very first ones that children learn from, and that is their parents. Ephesians 6, verse 1, which we mentioned a moment ago, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Colossians 3, verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is good in the sight of the Lord. Obey your parents. They are your instructors. They teach those things that are from the most fundamental things of having, knowing how to get along in life and understanding even the most basic functions of life, to the way of the Lord and the Word and the will of the Lord. It's from our parents that these things come first. The book of Proverbs is a very important book for young people to read. It's also a very important book for older people to read, because it gives wisdom to the aged as well as to the young. In the first chapter of Proverbs, verses 8 and 9, the wise man said, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be graceful ornaments on your head and chains about your neck." There is inherent in this the understanding that the father and the mother are instructing the children in the ways of the Lord, not in the laws of idolatry or how to become outlaws or those who defy authority and things of that kind. Children, obey your parents in the Lord involves doing those things that God has taught us to do. Hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother. They're going to be chains about your neck, and that's not log chains. That's not burdens that are too hard to bear. They are chains which are ornaments, like the pretty gold chain that's worn around the neck. Chains that serve as an indication of honor and glory, not something that's designed to pull you down or to use to strangle you with or something of that kind. Too many times young people think that their father's instruction or their mother's instruction is more like a chain that's tied around the neck to choke one's life away. But that's not the case. That's not what this instruction is for. But it's for the good of life and to give life. So I encourage you to read the Proverbs and hear what the Proverbs have to say to those who are young and to those who are old as well. Second aspect of this instruction from the Lord is remember your Creator. When children learn to obey their parents from infancy, then they are led to the instruction that God has given in His Word. And the instruction is, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Remember your Creator. Learn about God and remember God, to heed Him and to do His bidding. Before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, "I have no pleasure in them." Learning the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's what we're also told in the Psalms and Proverbs as well. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when our parents teach us of the greatness of God and the goodness of God, the mercy of God, and the fear of God, that God is righteous and God is true, that God is just, and that God does not like sin, we, as those who are youngsters receiving that instruction, need to understand that. And we need to know about the character of our Creator and how everything that we have, we enjoy from Him. How that every blessing of life is a gift from Him. In fact, in Him we live and move and have our being. He's the very essence and the very source of our life and the strength that we have. And we need to be thankful to Him for everything that we have. There was a question raised a few weeks ago for discussion on some TV or radio program. Do we need God in 2006? What a foolish question. Whose air are you going to breathe? Whose food are you going to eat? Whose water are you going to drink? Even for physical existence, we are utterly dependent upon God. And how in the world is anybody going to know how to behave himself if he doesn't listen to what God has to say? There is no other source that's a standard of authority to tell us how we ought to live. So it must be that we listen to God. Remember your Creator. It'll save you many hardships and many pains and many wounds if you remember your Creator in the days of your youth. A third thing that the Scripture suggests to us, and this in the latter part of the 11th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, verses 9 and 10, is to enjoy youth. Youth is a time of enjoyment. It's a time of joy and the pleasure of living. Just the pure, sincere joy and pleasure of living. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But here's the warning. But know that for all things God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. While you're enjoying your youth, remember that it's vanity. It's a passing thing. Just lasts a little while and it's gone and you can't call it back regardless of how much you want to. When a fellow gets to be middle-aged and tries to have another youthful fling, he can't have another youthful fling. It doesn't work that way. That's not the way life is. We're young once and then that's over with. It passes. And all of those things that are things that simply appertain to youth are transient things. They don't last. And since this is something that is just a passing thing, put those things away from you that will be destructive. Don't let the pleasures of youth be something that are destructive, something that will be ruinous to you. Put folly away and let the joys of youth be innocent and good. Let no one despise your youth. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Let no one despise your youth. And that just simply means don't behave in such a way that people think little of you because you're young. You do things that ought not to be done and they say, that's the way of these young folks. Thinking little of you because you're young, because you're doing things thoughtlessly and harmfully. And it's attributed to youth. Don't do that. Let no one despise your youth. A fourth suggestion that's given to the youth from the Word of God is honor your father and mother. And I separated that from children obey your parents in the Lord because it is, to a degree, a separate responsibility. Not entirely separated, but it is a separate responsibility. You obey your parents by doing what they tell you to do. You honor your parents by showing them the respect that is due them, not only by obeying them, but also by properly treating them with respect to what you say to them and how you deal with them, and as they grow older, how you come to their aid as they have given you sustenance and life in your youth. That's a part of honoring father and mother. In Matthew 15, Jesus pointed out that one of the errors of some of the people of His day was that they excused people from the commandment of God, which was honor thy father and mother, but they said, well, what we were going to give you has been a gift into the treasury, then they'd be free from their responsibility to their parents. And thus He said, you make void the commandment of God by your tradition. So here, honor father and mother means, in part, you take care of them when they get old and need your help, just like they took care of you when you were young and needed their help. And see to the fact that they don't become indigent and have need of things and you are negligent toward them. Don't let that happen. Honor your father and mother. Requite your parents is the way that Paul expressed it in 1 Timothy 5, verse 4. And to requite one's parents is to repay one's parents. Too many times people grow up in our land today thinking they don't owe anybody anything and everybody else owes them everything. The world owes them a job. The country owes them security. Everybody owes them something, but they don't owe anybody. In reality, we are all debtors. We're all debtors. We owe. And the first ones that we owe among all of those that we owe are our parents. And so we need to repay them. And that's honoring father and mother. Now we broaden the scope of this instruction a little. And the instruction is given to the young to respect your elders. That expression has come to be kind of commonplace as a sort of strong command that people sometimes sarcastically give to others, you know, respect your elders, you know. But it's not given sarcastically in the Word of God. Leviticus, the 19th chapter, verse 32. Leviticus 19, verse 32. The commandment was given in the law of Moses, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. There was a time when parents taught their children. Older people come into the house. You get up. You give them your seat. You get up. You take your place somewhere else. You let them have the recognition. Nowadays, too many times, it's the young people who are the ones who are commanding and demanding the focus upon themselves, and they are not being taught to rise up before the gray head. In fact, fellas, you better be careful when your hair starts turning gray, because you kind of get to be in the lot and the situation of the old gray horse that's turned out to pasture. Young people, learn by the teaching of the Word of God. to respect those who are your elders. Proverbs 16, verse 31. Proverbs 16, verse 31. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. Notice the qualification there. Not every older person is the kind of person that one ought to be. But the silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. And that's an important lesson for us all to learn. Young people, remember that age produces experience. And experience produces better judgment and understanding. It's an interesting characteristic of youth that youth is the most energetic period of life. Youth is the most ambitious period of life, accompanied by the least amount of experience that you'll ever have. Young people, you have the least experience now that you'll ever have. And I'll tell you something, there's not anything in the world you can do to cure that instantaneously. There's no way you can solve that problem immediately. Life doesn't work that way. It just doesn't happen that you suddenly become experienced when yesterday you were not. But experience grows with time, and time means you're getting older all that time. So, age produces experience. And experience produces better judgment and understanding. The young cannot know all the perils that older people do. That's just the way it is in life. The little ones don't even understand the danger of running out in front of an automobile. And those who are a little older but still young don't understand the danger of diving into water when they don't know how deep it is. They just assume that it's deep enough to dive into, and sometimes they break their necks on a rock just under the surface. There's a great lesson taught in 1 Kings 12, verses 1 to 16, young folks. And the fellow who gave that lesson to the world was named Rehoboam. Rehoboam was a young man. He went to Shechem to be accepted, crowned as king by all of Israel. Jeroboam was a leader among the 10 tribes of Israel, other than Judah and Benjamin. And Jeroboam, as kind of the spokesman for the greater portion of Israel, came to Rehoboam, spoke for the people, and said, "Tell us now, your father burdened us heavily with the taxes and the burdens and all of those things that he imposed upon us. You make our burdens lighter. You ease up on all of these things that we've had imposed upon us, and we'll follow you and serve you as king." And Rehoboam said, "Well, tell you what, come back in 3 days and we'll discuss the matter further." So they went away, and he called some old men in. And the old men said, "Listen to that request. Make the burdens lighter. Ease up on the people. That way you can bring all of the people into favor with you and they'll serve you and everything will be good. He dismissed those counselors and he called some young men in who didn't have that experience and that understanding. But they were gung-ho characters. They had plenty of get-up-and-go about them. These young men said, what you need to do is assert yourself. You tell them, you think my daddy was tough. I'm going to show you what tough is. And I'm paraphrasing, of course. My daddy put heavy burdens on you, but I'm going to put heavier burdens than that. You'll learn what it is when a fellow's king and has authority. And Rehoboam listened to the young men. So on that third day when the folks came back and said, well, what did you decide? He spoke to them roughly in the instruction of the young counselors whose judgment was not good. And he lost 10/12 of the kingdom. Don't despise the wisdom of the aged. Don't count the older people as useless and worn out. I would remind you that Moses was 80 years old when he came to lead Israel out of the land of Egypt. 80 years old. I'll remind you that Caleb was 85 years old when he came up to Joshua and said, listen, I want this mountain over here as my inheritance. And Joshua said, all right, you can have it if you can take it away from those folks that are living over there. 85 years old. Joshua wasn't all that far removed from the age of Caleb. When Joshua took over the reins of exercising leadership and judgment over Israel, he and Caleb went together as spies to spy out the land of Canaan. He was the commander of the army at the beginning of the 40 years of the wilderness wandering. And 40 years later, he took over the leadership. That would make him somewhere between 60 and 80 years of age when he took over the leadership of the nation. He wasn't old and worn out. Paul spoke as Paul the aged to Philemon in Philemon verse 9. And here he was writing scriptures as Paul the aged. John, I suppose, was older than that when he wrote the Revelation. If indeed it was written about A.D. 96, he was a very old man when he wrote the Revelation. Don't count the older as useless and worn out. There's a word that young people need to learn, as all of us need to learn it, and that is submission. That isn't taught much in the USA. The attitude in the USA is self-assertiveness, not submission. When you hear something like, submit to one another, there are a lot of folks whose hackles kind of rise up when such as that is said. But the Word of God teaches submission. As young people, we need to submit to those who are older, deferring to them in respect. Now, let's turn the picture around and look at the other side, to the older ones. God has spoken. God has said to the older ones, you love and appreciate children. You love and appreciate those who are the young. In the 127th Psalm, verses 3 through 5, the psalmist said, behold, children are an heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Instead of our disliking youth, we need to appreciate youth. We need to appreciate young ones and love them and care for them. There's instruction to train them. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22, verse 6. There is instruction that must be given, and it's the aged who are in the instructor position to those who are children. Proverbs 13, verse 24. Proverbs 13, verse 24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Discipline is not always with a rod. Discipline is instruction that leads one to live an orderly and proper life. Discipline is instruction suited for a disciple. That's really the idea. It's training suited for a disciple. And it embodies all of the instruction that we give, all of the correction that we give, all of the warnings, the admonitions that we give, all of the guidance that we give, all the correction that we give. All of that is a part of discipline, and discipline must be exercised on a continual, regular, consistent basis. And this is the duty of those who are older. Train the children to work. Train the children to be diligent. Train them to do a good job. Train them to fear the Lord. Train them to walk in the ways of righteousness. Train them about how to serve the Lord. Train them well. We need to appreciate the energy and the zeal of young people. And a great example of this is the story of David when he went out to meet Goliath. You know, when David went out to meet Goliath, he was just a youth. In fact, his brothers, his older brothers, scorned him and really scolded him for even coming to camp, though he had been sent by his folks down there to see about them. They thought he'd just come in, you know, as a young fellow who was meddling in something he didn't have business doing because he was too young. They didn't appreciate what he was capable of doing because of his youth. We don't need to have that disposition with regard to young people. Need to appreciate the fact that they have the energy, that they have the zeal and the desire to do, and help to guide them in that in the right way. Don't despise them and don't slight them because of their youth. Many congregations of the Lord's people neglect the training of youth in favor of those who are older doing everything in the Lord's work and not giving opportunity to those who are young to do. And so young people grow up without any experience in serving at the Lord's table, leading a prayer, reading the Scriptures, or anything like that until they are men who are grown 20, 25, or 30 years old. And then suddenly one of the older ones passes on and somebody has to take his place, and the one who takes his place has no experience because he was not given opportunity. Thankful that that situation is being rectified in a lot of places these days. It's an important responsibility that we have. Train up a child. It's the older ones who have the responsibility to watch for the souls of the young. Particularly, elders are charged with that duty, Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, because, we're told, they watch for your souls as those that must give an account. But it isn't just elders that have that responsibility of watching out for the well-being of others. As we mentioned in Philippians 2, verse 4, that we all are to be concerned about the well-being of others. Look not every man on his own things, but also on the things of others, the welfare of others. We are responsible to watch for each other's well-being. And those who are older obviously have the weightier responsibility to be watching for the souls of the young, to help them and to lead them in the right way. Let's finish the thought here from Titus, the second chapter. Paul's instruction, and here's instruction to older people with respect to teaching the young. Titus 2, beginning with verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women also, notice the men instruction, women are instructed. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Here's responsibility that older people have toward younger people. I'm confident if we do what we ought to do as those who are older, and if the young do as the young ought to do, have the proper disposition toward one another and the proper respect toward one another, that the harmony in the Lord's body will be far greater. And there will not be that disconnect. There will not be that separation and sometimes conflict that develops when there is not a proper relationship between those who are old and those who are young. The youth of our time depend upon the older for leadership and proper instruction. The older ones of our time depend upon the youths for energy and enthusiastic work as the future leaders of the church. And both groups are dependent upon God for everything necessary for life here and for direction to eternal life through the gift of Jesus Christ our Lord, who died as a young man, about 33 years old. And He died for both young and old. Therefore, let us all love Him supremely, obey Him supremely, and love one another by His commandment. And things will be well with our souls. If you need in any way to obey the gospel this evening, we encourage you to obey the Lord. Become a servant of righteousness through obedience to the gospel of Christ and live as one who has become a child of God ought to live. If you've not been faithful in serving the Lord, we encourage you to return to the Lord and make correction of anything that may be amiss. God's instruction for us all is clear, it's direct, it's simple. We encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity to obey. While we stand together and sing, we invite you to come.